from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To trade for a bat that makes their offense better. Not 28th in the league in OPS up to third. How about 28th to like 24th? Where a guy just, you put a guy in the lineup and the offense just looks better. I don't like it when people want them to do something that might even be a modest ask, and then you have other people saying, well, it's not like they're going to get the best player in the league. No one's asking for that. No one is. What we are asking for is that the general manager of a team that has shown guts and an ability to stay in the race do something to augment their lineup to that end.
The other thing I want to say about that Sherman clip, he said it's time for them to try harder for their fans. I'm actually sick of hearing about them trying hard. Yes, we get it. The guy's making millions of dollars to be their general manager. They have a huge staff of people over there. It's not like they all got the day off. They're trying to make moves. That's not good enough for me. This is a results-oriented business. If you tried to make trades, but you weren't able to make any, what am I supposed to say? Well, at least you showed up to work this afternoon. That's not the standard, or that's not the barometer for what we constitute a job well done. It's not, this is not, you know, some 7-year-old rec baseball league where they're learning.
Everybody's making a lot of money
off a tee.
Everyone's making a lot of money to do this.
So not just try or work hard.
Do
it. Make it happen.
Succeed.
I don't want to hear any more about Jazz Chisholm. We came in second place. Oh, the Pirates were in on a lot of guys today, boy. I tell you what, it was not because Ben Cherington wasn't on the phone.
Almost Olympics, they are unreal. They're gold medalists in the Almost Got
Him. He's icing his right ear right now because he had that phone pressed to it all afternoon.
That left hand as he gesticulated and tried to make deals and had a little body English as he was talking. It's very sore. He's got, you know, tendonitis in his wrist.
Donnie, how close are you to boiling over here? As a lifelong Pirates fan who wants to see them win, and you've not seen them win a playoff series in your entire life as a fan.
I mean, it might get a little bit fiery in about an hour if we get to that point and nothing else has happened. I mean, it's not even about, and I think I said this earlier, because you just brought it up about, you know, throw a bone to your fans like you owe it to your fans. To me, it's not even about being fair to your fans. For Ben Cherington, this should be about being fair to his team. A bunch of guys who, you know, have plenty of flaws and, you know, fundamentally, are they perfect? No. And does the manager of the team always make the right decisions? No. We've been plenty critical of the players and the skipper this whole season. If he does nothing here, it's a failure on him. Plain and simple. He's failing his team that have, through this point in the season, put themselves very much in a playoff race. They are not in no man's land. They are not out of it. They are very much in it, and he is failing them if nothing happens between now and six.
I mean, you could definitely twist it as a lack of belief in the team.
He clearly
you could look at it that way.
He believes.
Or would
more
you say he believes
25...
in them so much he doesn't think they need anything?
Definitely not that. He could say that he thinks that they have the answers within, but that's just a dodge. He believes more in what he thinks the 2025, 2026, and maybe even 2027 Pirates will look like than whatever the 2024 Pirates are right now. That's what he believes more in. He believes more in what he thinks the next 3 years are going to bring than what this team is currently doing.
Donnie, I agree with him in that he probably answers to the guys in the clubhouse more than he does the fan base, but I still think the fans are a huge portion of this or aspect of this. When you have a week like we just had in Pittsburgh where before they went out on the road and faced Arizona and Houston, you put all those people in the ballpark for the Philadelphia series, and then people to the tune of 32,000 came out to watch Paul Skenes, and they're reinvesting in this team because they want to see this team win again, and they're there to support the product. If you have an opportunity to make the product better to keep them coming, you should.
You would think. Pretty easy concept, I would think. I don't know. It's Yogi Berra here. It's getting late early out there, man.
Chris, I haven't felt good about it since I got here at 2 o'clock today. And other than the brief respite that was the PM team trade deadline roundtable.
Can we hear what that sounded like again coming in? That was very energetic.
The PM team trade deadline roundtable.
Having Zangrilli and Mackey in here both, I think, trying to lift our spirits and say, no, something is happening. And even putting a name to it, even bringing up Brian De La Cruz from Miami. Okay, he's got a lot of home runs. He's a major league hitter. He might hit like fourth or fifth in this lineup. All right, I'm in.
He's real power. He lengthens your lineup, yeah, which we have said a million times, but he does. Not a great pickup if they were to get him, but a good one. But I just don't even think that's happening. I don't think
anything
on
that
front.
Last we saw on it, Heyman said that there was still a quote gap in talks between the Pirates and the Marlins, and the other guys they've been linked to. It's not a one team race. They're competing with the Yankees and Red Sox and Astros for guys. And I'm just conditioned to think when those other teams want the same player you do, they're willing to do more and give up more to make it happen. And in this respect, I'm not saying that the owner says, here's a blank check, or, hey, go do what you want to do. I'm behind you 100%. Throw caution to the wind. I do think that this might be just a flaw in Charrington as a GM.
Just can't part.
Yeah.
What is it when kids can't? Separation anxiety? He has prospect separation anxiety.
The only guy he's traded for who's going to join the big league roster is Beeks. Jalen Beeks.
Maybe Nick York if they don't do anything else.
Clarence Beeks from Trading Places. What does Beeks have that, other than the fact that he's a nice bullpen piece, he's a Charrington guy. He drafted him. So he's reuniting himself with a guy that he already likes and already trusts and already believes in. So.
Time's ticking here.
Do we have Kevin Stallings on the trade deadline?
Oh, that here would be a hell of a pull.
I take his son right now.
I wonder what that loser's doing. Kevin Stallings, not Jacob.
I take Jacob. Have him catch Keller and
he was
Skenes
getting in the middle
of
things when Reese McGuire was
got called out for playing with himself in the parking lot.
Exactly. He was the guy who was playing, I guess, peacemaker, you'd call it.
All right, so we do not have a deal to discuss. We only have a lack of deals. And how does that make you feel as a Pirates fan? Are you expecting something to happen in the next 53 minutes? And if nothing happens, how will you feel as a Pirates fan? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. The best call on what has been an extremely quiet trade deadline for the Pirates, the best call on it, will win a pair of tickets to a concert at PNC Park. A big one.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Props to John Heyman. And then credit to the crystal balls of Jason Mackey and Dan Sangrilli. The power of the PM team trade deadline roundtable strikes again.
Play it one more time. Where is it?
Oh, sorry. I had a Brian De La Cruz highlight queued up.
Shrunken. Hitting the ball to the right side and a one-hopper ticking off Gonzalez's glove, trickling in the right. That will score the run. Chisholm is in. De La Cruz.
Chisholm is out, but De La Cruz is in. Joe Block. Brian De La Cruz is a Pirate, according to Heyman, and then the hat tip to Mackey and Zangrilli. We don't know what's
coming.
We know
one player going back.
Oh, we do.
June Seok Shim, a rookie ball righty.
Ah, man, I really did not want to give him up.
Projected readiness, 2026. Just a righty pitcher.
Do you have his numbers this year?
I can find them, but that's from Mark Feinsand, sending that Jun Seok Shim.
Can you say that one more time?
Jun Seok Shim. How would you say J-U-N dash S-E-O-K and then Shim? I can say the Shim part.
I think I'd stick to Shim. Mr. Shim. On his way to Miami.
All right. In rookie ball this year, last year, I'm sorry, a 3.38 ERA pony. He struck out 14.6 hitters per nine in rookie ball. Why did they give him up?
Why hasn't he pitched this year? He's been on the 60-day DL or IL since March. Did he have Tommy John?
I don't know. Pirate fans, I already see. I can't wait to see how they overpaid for this guy.
Shut up, really?
Just one person. I did laugh.
Let's see if it is Tommy John. Doesn't say. But he's been out since March. Oh, shoulder injury.
Well,
that's never
go.
Good. So a guy that's hurt and has missed the entire season, the Pirates just traded him to the Marlins.
As part of the deal to get Brian De La Cruz, who gives you a righty bit of thump.
But does that make you feel like he's the centerpiece of the deal? If
probably
he's the first name that's put
no,
out there? No.
Not. Well, he's their 17th ranked prospect right now.
And
so
Dan
maybe, yeah, he could be.
And Dan and Mackey both speculated that it would take possibly two prospects between 10 and 20 to make the deal happen.
Who did the Marlins get back again? What I know they got the third, fourth, and sixth in the Padres system to get Tanner Scott and the one other pitcher. What positions did those third, fourth, and sixth guys play? Were they all pitchers?
I have no idea.
I would wonder if they're just looking for a lottery ticket outfielder, the Marlins.
From the Pirates? How many lottery ticket Lonnie White got? Somebody like that?
Or, yeah, Shaylin Polanco.
Ah, yes. Or how about the McAdoo guy that apparently now is turning into Pete Rose down at single A? Charles McAdoo.
Charles McAdoo is their 29th best prospect.
Yeah, but the numbers are off the charts.
You know, I feel like Cody Duncan and company are loving on Charles McAdoo.
I like it. I'm going to be fair. I've couched some of the statements today, but I said, and my gut feeling was wrong, that I didn't think something somewhat significant would happen. This is not on the Chris Archer Richter scale. It's not popping up like that. As far as deadline trades they've made, even going back to the Huntington era, this is a guy that can hit a decent amount of home runs. 19 last year, already 18 this year in 105 games. He's 27 years old, and he has 3 years left on his deal.
He has 30 home run power. I think that much should be obvious. If he's got 18 already and 19 last year, he
strikes out a lot. That's the issue. Okay.
Who among us
does not, Malzi?
Really, honestly, I hate to be like Greg Brown saying everyone sucks at offense in Major League Baseball, or Zangrilli, who was reading us random Cubs and Twins box scores to illustrate that fact.
That was hilarious.
Everybody strikes out. This guy doesn't walk much. He strikes out a lot, but he hits the ball over the fence and he hits doubles.
He is 13th in strikeouts. He actually has the same exact number of strikeouts as Brent Rooker this year. Donnie has the full trade.
Marlins will receive Garrett Forrester as well.
They're couldn't finding see the Forrester through the trees
18th,
in this deal.
Okay, so he's their 18th prospect, and he's a first baseman, third baseman, catcher. If he's a Pirates first base prospect, we know he ain't amounting to anything.
Man, we did a good job with the
round table.
Get
those swords out one more time.
How about that round table?
Let's go.
Hold on, guys.
Let's hear that gut punch.
Get the damn swords. Clink, clink.
The PM Team Trade Deadline Roundtable.
I love that last one. It sounds like a guy just getting punched in the face. It's good. I give them credit for this.
One home run and 11 RBIs for Forrester at Greensboro this year.
I give this trade a B, B plus. B plus.
I like it a lot.
He is a good baseball player, and they traded two guys that most of our listeners didn't even know were in the Pirates organization. Let's just be real. Donnie, if you had just said Jun Suk Shim.
Yeah, you're really having a hard time with that name, Chris.
Well, it's a weird name. It's not like Jung Ho Gung, where we kind of figured it out pretty early. If you had asked about Shim or Forrester and said, is Garrett Forrester an accountant or a Pirates farmhand? Is Shim a random guy who plays in the Korean League or whatever, the KBO or the Japanese professional leagues, or is he a Pirates farmhand? I bet you get 50-50. Correct answers. This guy immediately becomes what? De La Cruz is now what? The Pirates' blank best bat.
So Reynolds and Cruz are their two best. If you go by OPS, Bart has been better, but he hasn't really been an everyday player.
Telez is right around there now.
And then McCutchen is slightly better at 709. This guy's 707.
What's Rowdy at?
He's at 700 right on the nose. If you go by home runs, he's tied now for the team lead with Reynolds. So he is, I would say, a league average hitter with power, and that doesn't sound like much, but on their team, just being okay or being decent goes a very long way because most of their hitters suck.
Correct. Outfielder's not... Okay, so McCutchen's not an outfielder, really. He's their DH. Outfielder's not named Brian Reynolds this year, and we'll leave this to Taylor. Let's say Edward Olivares still counts. You want to count Connor Joe?
Yes.
All right, here are their outfielders not named Reynolds, guys who really did play the outfield. 3 home runs from Taylor, 5 from Olivares, that's 8. 7 from Joe, who plays all over, but we'll call him an outfielder for these purposes. That's 15 home runs so far. And then Sawinski gave them 9 more, that is 24. Palacios, 2 more, 26. So I named, 5 players there, correct?
Yep.
They averaged about 5 home runs a man. This guy has 18 by himself. That is a major upgrade in that department. And the Pirates right now as a team have the 12th most home runs out of 15 in the National League. I would hazard a guess that the Marlins were one of the few teams with less, just off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. So it automatically gives them more raw power, which makes the lineup inherently more dangerous. And they gave up, by MLB Pipeline rankings, prospects 17 and 18 to get them. Good trade. You know what? We have killed the guy in the run-up to the trade deadline, and he did not make an earth-shattering blockbuster deal. Good job, Ben Cherington. I was worried you were full-on asleep at the switch. It is clear that you really were trying to make a deal, and you made one that I think is good.
And,
good job.
And they have this guy who's making less than $1 million right now.
For several years.
They have him for all of 2025, 2026, and 2027.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a bad thing to say about this trade.
B plus A minus deal for me because they gave up very little.
Donnie, you want to chime in on it?
I mean, I think it looks very good. I mean, we were worried, again, that this guy was napping all afternoon. Credit to Jason and Dan. I'll have Dan hop on with me around 7 o'clock leading into him. He has the leadoff show tonight. But Cherington pulled it off. Now there's another tweet out there that the Pirates and Astros may be working on something, and that would be that would be tough travel for whoever's involved in that
Pirates
trade.
And Astros working on a deal per sources from Francis Romero.
They would have to trot across clubhouses.
Nothing done so far. What would it make sense for those two teams to do together?
Yeah, what would it?
The Astros are going for it.
But the Astros can go for it more or less every year.
But no, I mean, the Pirates got a guy with 25 to 30 home run power. They have him not only just for the rest of this year, and they gave up guys that, let's be honest, most of our listeners have never heard of before 5 minutes ago.
And they're not minor leaguers that are having good years.
No, the one's not even playing.
They gave up lottery tickets. They gave up a lottery ticket pitcher, and they gave up a corner infield prospect slash catcher.
Who's hit one home run all year.
And if he plays three different positions, in theory, he's only a prospect because of his bat. And if he's hit one home run all year, the bat doesn't look like it plays very much.
I think it's a marvelous trade. I'd love to get your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Your take on what the Pirates just did at the deadline. They trade for Brian De La Cruz. He's got 18 home runs, which now gives him the team lead with Brian Reynolds. And they got him for low-end prospects. And he's got a lot of years left on the deal. So what do you have to say about these Pirates now? 412-928-9370. Can follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Key and Peters Township. Your thoughts on it? Best Call is going to get tickets to see Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins at PNC Park in September. Best Call on. All right, so we have another trade to react to. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa comes to the Pirates. He has played for the Rangers, Yankees, and this season with the Blue Jays. He has won a gold glove in his career at third base. He plays a ton of positions. Short, third, outfield, second, all three outfield positions. A three-war player, according to Baseball Reference this year.
He's having a career year offensively, is the deal with him. His OPS has never been above 700 in his career. It's 760 almost this year. He's a 115 OPS plus guy. The bat has played. Here's another thing about Kiner-Falefa to keep in mind. That is a launching pad ballpark in Toronto. It is known as being one of the more hitter-friendly parks. He is a better player this year offensively on the road, 800 OPS away from Toronto, Pony. So, preliminarily, I have no idea who they gave up to get him, and he's under contract for next year, by the way. He's had 6 years of service time right on the nose. He signed through next year, 2 years, $15 million.
Yep.
This looks on its face, unless they paid a King's ransom, which I don't think they would have had to. Another good deal.
Another very good deal.
A player who is going to patch a lot of holes, who is, this year at least, a much better hitter.
So we thought York would be the second baseman when that trade got made yesterday. I'm guessing now he is. And when O'Neill Cruz needs a day off, he can go over and play short. I mean, hell, depending on how things go later in the year, you could also put him at third for Hayes if he continues to struggle once guys get back healthy. He is a super utility guy.
I mean,
they have not had somebody like that who's done a really good job at it since Sean Rodriguez.
I was going to say Josh Harrison. He's playing offensively this year, closer to that to Harrison's really big years, salad years here. I hesitate only because he's having a much better year in terms of like slugging percentage and stuff like that than he has in the past. But you might just be catching a guy who stays hot the way he has this year. He's always been an okay hitter for average. If you just go look at the stats, I'm not telling you this because I'm an Isaiah Kiner-Falefa expert, but he's always been a guy who's walked a little bit, hit for an okay average, but he's hitting for a little power
this
year.
Here we go now. This is the trade that has the Pirates prospect nerds pissed. because as I mentioned to you before, Charles McAdoo, who's having a giant year at single A, is the guy that's going back to Toronto in this trade.
Okay.
So the prospect nerds are not thrilled.
I will remind you that I know that the MLB pipeline lists aren't like updated, and he's been having a big year, and he's 22, and he's got some power. He's still on
14 homers.
Okay, on their
315, 932 OPS.
Okay, on their original list, he was prospect 29, and he might have jumped up. What do you think he probably functionally is now? Prospect like 14. He's probably jumped halfway up that list.
He's been at single A, and now he's at Altoona, and he's putting up big numbers.
Okay, Pony, you know what? I can't even go there. I don't care. In 20 minutes ago, they had done nothing to bolster this team. They have now added 18 home runs and a starting outfielder and a guy who is going to paper over several holes that just appeared in their lineup that are even more gaping, or that were more gaping because of injury, who is better than pretty much all the guys he was going to be replacing.
Harold Reynolds moments ago on MLB Network, the Pirates are making moves. Those guys in that clubhouse are saying, we're in this thing. This is a club going into year that all of us thought we're losing 100 games. I don't know about that, Harold. I don't think anyone had them ticketed for 100 losses, my God. But, yeah. Here's what... Who is this clip from on MLB Network, Donnie, on De La Cruz?
I'm going to be honest, Pony. I got no idea who was talking because all they were doing was showing De La Cruz.
All right, let's hear it.
Hey, good for the Pirates. I mean, listen, it's not a blockbuster, but the fact that they are adding on, we've seen Kansas City losing 106 games last year, adding a lot.
So, Heyman, what else you got, man?
He's better than the guys that are running out.
Okay, so that was Tom Verducci at the start, and then O'Dowd at the end saying they're the former Rockies GM who worked with Hurdle in Colorado, saying he's better than the guys they're running out there.
All right, great Ben Cherington's deadline. Let's assume he doesn't do anything else in the next 27 minutes. I think, yeah, I got to give it just a straight-up A. I thought he did. My biggest worry was he was so cautious and measured in his words about how he was going to handle this that he was going to just completely kind of fritter away what they looked like they had going with their pitching this year. He has not. These are two real, honest-to-God, legitimate moves that are going to help them significantly. They are a much better team than they were 15 minutes ago.
Jonathan Mayo, who we know as a prospect guru who works here in Pittsburgh and writes for MLB.com, saying that McAdoo, who went for Kiner Falefa when they were on the verge of re-ranking the Pirates prospect list, and they were going to move him all the way up to the top 15.
Okay.
Again.
Still, that doesn't mean top five.
A second of sleep over any of that.
They are a considerably better team than they were 15 minutes ago, and I swear to God, we don't traffic in telling people we're wrong all the time. I usually try to tell people you were wrong or vice versa. You and I both started the show today very pessimistic.
We were sick to our stomachs.
You were cynical. I was skeptical. Donnie couldn't even muster up much. You weren't hearing anything from your moles. I wasn't hearing much of anything. Then Zangrilli and Mackey provided a couple little rays of sunshine, and they've come true. Good for them.
412-928-9370. Let's see if the fan base is now feeling better, starting with Sean and the fan. Hello, Sean. Sean, you there? Goodbye, Sean. Rendered speechless. Rob is next. Hello, Rob.
How y'all doing, man? I sat on here for a minute, man. They didn't make the trade while I was on here. I was ready to lose my top, man. We deserve better, man, as fans and everything. You know, not even us, but I watched every game. Last night, I even watched the Arizona game, hoping they would lose.
All right, so, Rob, they've made two trades, so you got to start singing a different tune, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Everything I was going to say is out the window. I'm just straight freestyling right now. Yeah, man, this is what you got to do. You got to put a better product out to the win. These guys, man, listen, Skeens is giving it his all, man, every game. Keller's out there pitching. I'm happy, man. I'm happy. And I'm going to tune in and continue to watch and cheer for these guys.
All right,
man.
So there's the guy that's a convert. He's happy now with what the Pirates are doing. He's not giving up on them. Isaac is next on this. Hello, Isaac.
Hey, fellas, thanks for putting me on.
Sure.
I was in the same boat when I called. They hadn't made a move yet, and you also hadn't mentioned those tickets, so get ready for a great call. So I think that there are two questions in my mind coming into today. One is the reason we haven't seen a trade, because Nutting isn't letting Cherington buy anyone who's going to impact the payroll. And obviously the Kiner Falefa trade proves that wrong, because that's $7.5 million on this year. And then you have getting that other bat out of Florida, the De La Cruz deal. So I think, you know, basically he's gotten rid of some of my worries that I had coming in this morning. I feel a lot better, but he didn't get Robert he didn't get any of the big bets that are going to put a message to this fan base like, we have Skeens, we have Jones, we're going to go win the series, we're going to go all in. But this gives you a little hope to get to the end of the year. Now, what we're not talking about, though, this likely means Gonzalez is out for a while. I don't think they go get a utility guy like Kiner Falefa for that price, which we haven't seen them pay for any one of the big hitters that we really wanted, unless Gonzalez is out. So it actually gives me a little worry. I hate to dampen.
He's a better player this year than Gonzalez. Gonzalez has been absolutely like money in the clutch, but Kiner Falefa has been better than him this year.
Isaac, I'm going to put you on hold. I don't think it's a short-term thing. I do think in the short term, in the interim, he'll fill in for Gonzalez, but he's on the books for next year too. He can play all over. So I think it's one of those situations where it's the best of both worlds. The Pirates are going to say it helps him this year and that they've got him now for next year. And
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.